Our story tonight is a fascinating story. It's the rest of the story from what we looked at this morning in connection with Korah and the rebellion that he led against Moses and Aaron. We're going to be putting our songs, I believe, up on the screen. And so that'll give you hands free to open your Bibles. And I'd like for you to open your Bibles and let's follow this story through in connection with Korah. And this is going to be about Korah's family and his descendants. And there are so many lessons, I think, that can be drawn from what we're about to see and what we're about to read. I'd like for you to keep in mind the history that we are going to just skim over, that these men are involved in. These men, these women, these children, and the history that they are involved in. Because these individuals will go through the taking of the promised land. And then they will go through the book of Judges when people did whatever was right in their own eyes and majority of the children of Israel turned away from God. And then they will come into the establishment of the kingdom. And they will come into the days of David. And they'll come into the days of Solomon. And to see where they are through this process and where they are when we come down to the verses that are going to be revealed to us about them, and then see where they are when we come to the songs. It's a story that just fills with intrigue and lets you take a look at these men and their families and exactly what they did in spite of the history that they were involved in. Very much like the history that we are going through and will go through and have gone through. And to me, the amazing thing is their history and their story is not a thing like their dad's. That their history and their story is completely opposite of their forefather Korah. And it lets you know and see that I can overcome my father's sins. And I don't have to allow my father's sins to impact me and my relationship with God. And I can overcome the things that happen around me and even in my family and remain faithful to God. So the first place we want to read is in Numbers chapter 26, and it's in verse 9. And verse 9 and 10 give us a brief history or repeat our review of what we looked at this morning with regard to Korah. In Numbers chapter 26, starting with verse 9, the Bible says this: the sons of Eliab, Nemuel and Dathan and Abiram. You remember Dathan and Abiram, they were the two that were with Korah. These are the Dathan and Abiram who were called by the congregation, who contended against Moses and against Aaron in the company of Korah, when they contended against the Lord. And the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up along with Korah when that company died, when the fire devoured 250 men, so that they became a warning. The sons of Korah, however, did not die. Now the sons and the family of Dathan and Abiram died with them. But the sons of Korah did not die. And so now we have these descendants of Korah who are alive in Numbers. And we begin to read about them. And we read about them starting in the book of 1 Chronicles. So turn to 1 Chronicles and we'll start with chapter 6. 1 Chronicles chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 22, and then we'll read just a few more verses. We're going to do this rather quickly because we got some songs we're going to sing. But 1 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 22, we have this said in connection with the sons of Korah. 1 Chronicles chapter 6 verse 22: the sons of Kohath were Aminadab his son, Korah his son, Asher his son. and goes down through the list, taking us all the way back to Levi, and it names all of these sons that are given to us there. Starting in verse 31, now these are those whom David appointed for the service of song in the house of the Lord after the ark rested there. They ministered with song before the tabernacle of the tent of meeting until Solomon had built the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. And they served in their office according to their order. And it names one of the sons. And one of the sons is the individual that was chosen to sing. He was the one who sang along with three others that were relatives of his. So they were serving in song, chosen by David to be the singers, these Levites. But that's not their only duty. If you go over to 1 Chronicles chapter 9, starting with verse 17, this is also their duties, these sons of Korah. It'd be different individuals. There was a lot of them. It becomes a small tribe of, or a partial tribe in the tribe of Levi, and they are known as the Korahites, or the Korahites. And it's telling us about what all of these individuals are doing. And in chapter 9, verse 17, now the gatekeepers were Shalom and Akub and Talmon and Ahiman and their relatives, Shalom the chief being stationed until now at the king's gate to the east. These were the gatekeepers for the camp of the sons of Levi. Shalom, the son of Kor, the son of Abiasaph, the son of Korah, and his relatives of his father's house, the Korahites, were over the work of service, keepers of the threshold of the tent, and their fathers had been over the camp of the Lord, keepers of the entrance. They guarded the gates. The sons of Korah were in charge of guarding the gates. They were also singers, but they had another job. At least some of them did. And that's mentioned in chapter 9, still in the same chapter, verse 31 and 32. Mattathiah, one of the Levites, who was the firstborn of Shalom, the Korahite, had the responsibility over things which were baked in pans. Some of their relatives of the son of the Kohathites were over the showbread to prepare it every Sabbath. These were the guys that prepared the showbread, much like our Lord's Supper is prepared. And this is what these individuals did. They're mentioned again in chapter 12. You see the faithfulness to God? You see what they are doing in the tabernacle of God and the responsibilities that they have? And there's more that's going to be revealed to us as we go a little further. In the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible will say this. Now these are the ones who came to David at Ziklag, while he was still restricted because of Saul, the son of Kish. And they were among the mighty men who helped him in war. This is going to be listing the mighty men that helped David to protect himself from Saul and then help David to establish his kingdom. And those are the individuals that are being listed. And if you look down at verse 4 and 5, it's still in the list of these mighty men that helped David. And Ishmai the Gibeonite, a mighty man among the 30 and over the 30. Then Jeremiah, Jehaziel, Johanan, Jozabad, You know, there's just some names you just can't fake real easy. The Gederathite, Eluzai, Jeremoth, Belial, Shemera, Shephatiah, the Harophite, Elkanah, Ishiah, Azareel, Jozer, Jashabim, and Korahites, the whole group of them, and Joliah and Zebediah, the sons of Jehoram of Gedor. It lists those in verse 6 and says they were Korahites. They were descendants of Korah. I like this one. It's the last one we'll look at, and it's in the book of 2 Chronicles, and it's 2 Chronicles chapter 20. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 5. Jehoshaphat is the king. And Jehoshaphat has received word that the sons of Moab and the sons of Ammon are coming against him to do war. And by the time he hears of it, they are already in En-Gedi. They are already just to the south. And when he hears of it, he is terrified. And verse 3 says what he does. He was afraid and he turned his attention to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. They even came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. This is 2 Chronicles. This is long after David, long after Solomon, getting near the end of the nation of Judah. And they're about to go to battle against Moab, and they are terrified because they know they don't have a chance, and they do the one thing they know to do. And that is, they fall on their knees and they ask God to help. One of their number, a man by the name of Jehaziel, is one who describes what is going to happen. And that takes place starting in verse 14. And Jehaziel, in response to the prayer that is being offered by Jehoshaphat and all of the nation of Judah, says to them in verse 15, listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley in front of the wilderness of Jeruel. You need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out, face them, for the Lord is with you. The next day they go out, and the Midianites and the Ammonites have turned against one another, and they kill themselves. And they don't lift a hand in battle. But for the next several days, they gather the spoil from the dead, where God has taken care of the battle and they do not fight nothing. Now, I want you to notice the next two verses are key, verse 18 and 19, because these verses occur before they see the results of the battle. These verses occur because they have just heard the answer to their prayer and what God is going to do. Jehoshaphat the king bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord because of the answer. The Levites, from the sons of the Kohathites and of the sons of the Korahites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a very loud voice. You get the picture? All of Israel fell to its face before God in prayer. And the Korahites stood up and they sang praises to God with a loud voice. And it's still the next day before they see the results. This is the answer to the prayer. And maybe that helps to explain a lot about the songs that we're about to look at. There are 11 psalms that are attributed to the sons of Korah. These individuals who were in charge of the song service for the songs in the temple. Those songs start with Psalm 42. And then you have a series in order from Psalm 44 through Psalm 49. And then there is Psalm 84, 85, 87, and 88. And all of those are designated as being songs from the sons of Korah. I want you to turn to the first one, which is Psalm 42, and I want you to read with me the first verse. Isn't it amazing to be singing a song that was sung to David? Isn't it amazing to be singing a song that was written during the life of David, or very soon after that? But look at the first verse. As the deer pants for the water or for the brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember, and I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go along with the throng and lead them in the procession to the house of God with the voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. That's not Korah, but that's his sons. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. That'll be we don't have to have the numbers. Number 71.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You
The next psalm we're going to look at is the 46th psalm. And from it, two songs will come. We'll read the first part of it, and then we'll look at the latter part. We'll read down through verse 7, and then we'll read verses 8 through 11 in just a moment. But I want you to read these verses with me. There's a recurring theme through these psalms, just like the longing for God. And you can see the hardship that these individuals go through in their life and their desire for God, and sometimes the struggles that they have in being faithful to God and the questions that they raise to themselves, and they constantly are seeking God and the refuge and the comfort and the protection and the salvation that is in Him. And it's almost easy to forget. When it says sons of Korah, you want to think of somebody else named Korah than the man that we talked about and studied about this morning, who thought about himself and who, even more than he longed for God, he longed for himself and for his own power. But now these descendants of his live a different life. Psalm 46, reading with me in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Verse 4 is where the next song comes from. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. We're living in a time when we can see coming, if things don't change, an upheaval in the world as we know it. That's what he's singing about. That's what this song is all about. But he talks about there being a place, and it's with God. And the song is number 455, and the title of the song is Where Peace Like a River. And it comes out of verse 4, there is a place, there is a river. There is a river whose streams make glad the people of God. And we'll sing about that river, where peace like a river.
Where sorrows like billows flow over my soul, and my heart is filled with despair. Tell again that old story of a city so fair, where peace like a river rolls on. Where peace like a river flows over my soul, where troubles and sorrow from life all have flown. I'll drink at the fountain that flows deep and wide, where peace like a river, peace like a river, peace flows over my soul. Where peace like a river flows over my soul, where troubles and tears all have flown. As I drink of the fountain that flows deep and wide, then peace like a river flows on. Where peace like a river flows over my soul, when troubles surround us from life all have flown, I'll drink of the fountain that flows deep and wide, where peace like a river, peace like a river, peace flows over my soul.
Thank you, Don. I didn't know we could have subs. Who wants to read next? Okay, still in chapter 46, look at verses 8 through 11. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes war to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Cease striving. Can also be translated, relax, let go. To sing the song from Frozen, let it go. Relax. The song that we're going to sing, be still and know that I am God. Because that's what the verse is saying. Stop striving and know that I'm God. Relax and know that I am God. We sing it, be still and know that I am God.
Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God.
The next psalm is Psalm 48, and it's not necessarily a particular verse, although the verses that are pointed to are the first two verses. But what the sons of Korah are doing in the 14 verses of Psalm 48 is singing about the beauty of Mount Zion. But Mount Zion in this psalm becomes God's dwelling place. For them, it would have been thought of as Jerusalem as they looked around at the city of Jerusalem and the temple. But also it would have been thought of from the standpoint of God's dwelling place in heaven and the eternal home. And we sing the song that they have in mind as they sing here when we think about heaven and we think about being with God. So we're going to sing number 716, Sing to Me of Heaven. But it comes out of this song about the dwelling place of God. Let me read just the first few verses. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, his holy mountain. Beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion in the far north, the city of the great king. In this psalm, the sons of Korah are singing about the place where God lives. They are singing about Mount Zion. They are singing about heaven.
Sing to me of heaven, sing that song of peace. Tolls that bind me, it will bring release. Burdens will be lifted that oppressing soul. Showers of great blessing o'er my heart will flow. Sing to me of heaven, let me fondly dream of its golden glory, of its pearly gleam. Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven, sweetest song of all. Sing to me of heaven, tenderly and low, till the shadows o'er me rise and swiftly go. When my heart is weary, when the day is long, sing to me of heaven, sing that old sweet song. Sing to me of heaven, let me fondly dream of its golden glory, of its pearly gleam. Sing to me when shadows of the evening. Sing to me,
still in Psalm 48, When you sing about the place where God is, and it's the place where you want to be forever, and you sing about heaven, you sing about this. Starting with verse 9, we have thought on your loving kindness, O God, in the midst of your temple. Think about the place, you think about God, and we have thought on your loving kindness. Our minds have been focused on it. As is your name, O God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments. Walk about Zion and go around her. Count her towers. Consider her ramparts. Go through her palaces that you may tell it to the next generation. For such is God, our God, forever and ever. He will guide us until death. And from that verse, and the last line of that verse, and the last line, comes the idea behind our song, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, through this pilgrim land. And as we walk through this land here, we ask God to guide us until we die. Guide me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
Join me in standing, please. Guide me, O Thou Great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but Thou art mighty. Hold me with Thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Open now thy crystal fountain, whence the healing waters flow. Let the fiery cloud fill. Still my strength and shield, strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Bear me through the swelling current, land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praise I will ever give to Thee. Songs of praise I will ever give to Thee.
Be seated, please.
Of all the songs that the sons of Korah have written, my favorite is Psalms 84. I have gotten to where Psalms 84, to me, is a psalm of great comfort, and I'll use it a lot of times to give comfort to families when they have lost loved ones. And Psalms 84 is that psalm that starts off by the sons of Korah looking out over the temple area, and they see birds that have built nests near the altar and around the temple. And they make the comment from seeing that even the swallow and the birds know where to go to protect their young. And they stay in the house of God. And they talk about the blessing of the man who walks with God. And the individual who walks with God will even turn the valley of suffering and sorrow into a pool or a spring of blessings, because God constantly gives his blessings. It's in verse 11 and 12 that God is described. And they will say, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord God gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in you." I didn't pick the songs out by myself by going through and reading, because some of them might not have made that tie. But in our songbooks, at the back of the songbooks, they take songs that are attached to verses in the Bible. And that's where these songs came from. There were a lot more listed. There were a lot more listed with not only the songs, the Psalms written by the sons of Korah, but a lot of others. But these are the ones I felt like we would know and that we would be able to sing together. And it's from these last two verses, and you can see how it comes, that the idea in this song is expressing the same thought and the same idea that's in verse 11 and verse 12. The song that we're going to sing is "God is the Fountain Whence." And the idea is God is the fountain from which all blessings flow. And that's the thought in verses 11 and 12. He's a sun and shield. He gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. How blessed is the man who puts his trust in God. God, the fountain from whence all blessings flow.
God is the fountain where 10,000 blessings flow. To him my life, my health and friend, and every good I owe. The comfort he
psalm, and the song we will use for invitation comes out of Psalm 85, the very next psalm that is written. Let's read the first seven verses together, or I'll just read the first seven verses, read them along with me, and they say this: O Lord, you showed favor to your land. You restored the captivity of Jacob. You gave the iniquity of your people. You forgave the iniquity of your people, and you covered all their sins. You withdrew all your fury. You turned away from your burning anger. Restore us, O God of our salvation, and cause your indignation toward us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not yourself revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your loving kindness, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. the idea of revive us again. Listed in two of those verses, verse 4 and verse 6, is also listed twice, I believe it's twice. In the song that we're about to sing, we praise thee, O God. We're going to sing all verses of the song and the chorus once at the end. At least that's the way I had it written. Is that what you plan to do, Adam? That's what we're going to do. To me, these men, this family, tells the story of this song. Having a forefather who turned his back on God's way and rebelled against God's appointed servants, Moses and Aaron. And yet here are sons who are living out faithfulness to God and service to his tabernacle, to his temple, and writing the songs that would be included for us to read today. These sons of Korah. This family understands that God revives. This family understands that God forgives. And he does not hold generation after generation accountable for what one has done. And so they write a song that ought to encourage every single one of us. We praise thee, O God, for the son of your love. Revive us. Bring us back to you. Bring us back to where you would have us to be. Let's stand. And if you desire to respond to the invitation of God tonight, we invite you to come as we stand and sing this song together.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. We praise thee. Singing all five without singing the chorus. Let's do that again. We'll start with number one. Back up for me, Kevin. I knew it was going to be hard, but okay. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. We praise thee, O God, for the Spirit of life, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. All glory and praise to the God of all grace, who has bought us and sought us and guided our way. Revive us again, fill each heart with thy love. May soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Amen. Been a great day. Been a beautiful weekend. So glad everybody's been here. I really